Okay. Well, to recap, you know, at the ripe old age of 50, I started taking flight lessons. And so these airplanes, you know, you have to, they say when you learn to fly, the job of the flight instructor is not to teach you how to fly, because you have to teach yourself how to fly. It's a surprisingly physical process. It's like riding a bike. You feet on the rudder, it's really, you know, a body practice in these things. So the job of the flight instructor is to keep you alive while you teach yourself to fly. So they sit, they have their own controls. Unlike cars, there are two sets of controls. And so they sit at one, and, you know, when you do something crazy, then they, you know, they take over. And so they'll keep you safe while you're learning the bodily things of how to fly. But the thing that Air Force pilots, that's, you know, yourself, but also these complex machines, you got to make sure they're in good shape before you take off in them. And so they develop checklists. Now, you're probably wondering, how does this relate to Buddhism? And I don't know. I just like to talk. No, I'm kidding. I'll get to that. But, you know, you have these checklists, and I'll pass a couple of them around. These are for a Cessna 172, the most popular airplane ever built. And any of these high-wing airplanes you see are Cessna 172s. Oops, and one that way, and one that way. You can look at it. These are things, that one's a partial list. That one's a complete list. So these are all the things you have to check before you take off. You walk around, you've probably seen at the airports, pilot gets out and they walk around and they look and you're like, why is the captain walking around looking at, like, is this plane okay? So, you know, they're checking it out. And, well, the reason they check it out is because they learn to go through these checklists. And if you miss something, then, you know, there's too much to keep in your head on these checklists. And so, so they give you a program to check it out, and Air Force discovered that that really was better than just having pilots. You know, I know what I'm doing. No, do the checklist and do it. And that was taken out by surgeons in the 90s and the 2000s. So instead of the surgeon coming, I'm the surgeon, and, you know, checklist. You know, let's check and check this stuff. And, you know, you might think, well, that's kind of takes the fun out of it. You know, what fun is flying if I'm like going through this checklist and whatever? Well, the point is to put the fun back in it by keeping you safe and letting you know that you've done what needed to be done. And the sensation of, you know, pushing the rudder with your feet, steering the ailerons with your hands, you know, taking off, landing, controlling, you know, you're going to do all the bodily things. And so by knowing that the plane is in good shape and whatever, then, you know, then you're free to enjoy the flying. And some of the things are so important that, you know, the pilots learn mnemonics for them. And so the backside of that card actually has some emergency procedures on it. But pilots learn these things, like one of them is PRAY, is one acronym. There are different versions of it. It's what you do if you inadvertently or advertently get into a spin in an airplane, and it's power, you pull the power off, basically. Rudder, P-R-A-Y, power, rudder, aileron, yoke. So it tells you what to do. So you don't have to get out the checklist, and because you don't have time in some of these situations. And another one's I'm safe. This is a checklist, not just for the airplane, but for the pilot. And to check yourself before flying. And so I'm safe is illness, medication, stress, alcohol, fatigue. And then the E is emotion in some lists and eating in other lists. But I'm safe. Illness, you know, am I sick today? Don't fly. Medication, is there something knocking me out? Don't fly. Stress, don't fly. Alcohol, for sure don't fly, and it's illegal to. Fatigue, if you're too tired, don't. And emotions, are you mad at somebody? Or eating, have you eaten? You know, don't fly. So there's lots of good reasons to, you know, to stay on the ground, as it were, rather than flying, because for recreational flying, nobody has to take off. You don't have to take off. So you never do. You have to land after you've taken off. But it's always a good choice not to go. Okay, so what about Zen here? I've been thinking about right speech. So, you know, we're moving into the political. So, in fact, driving here today, I don't know if other folks drove by, right up here on 105th North Gateway, there's a Planned Parenthood clinic. And there's a bunch of protesters outside today, I think anti-clinic protesters with signs. And so there's a lot of this speech, you know, it's surrounding us all the time. And it, you know, we get it through the news, we get it from neighbors, we get it at work, get it from families. You know, my wife and I agree on virtually everything. Or at least I tell her that, which is a good choice. But nevertheless, when we're talking about politics and things, we can get very heated, even though we're in total agreement. We're not disagreeing. We're heatedly agreeing, you know, can you believe this, you know, so this stuff. And so, you know, this speech is really permeating us. And, you know, and our practice is, it's not contrary to that, but it's stepping back from that. You know, the world doesn't need more of this sort of protest and heated stuff. And engaging in it is fine. That's not to say don't do it. It's to say that, you know, our practice here is saying, and there's something else. And there's another way of being and modeling that. And, you know, in the Eightfold Path and the right speech, which is part of the Eightfold Path, you know, I think is really emphasizing that. So I thought I'd read briefly. There's many versions of this, you know, in sutras, but this is one that I found in this particular book, in Buddhist Words. There's a great one volume, sort of compendium. And the Buddha says, he's talking about monks and monastic training and going through all kinds of things, like abstaining from injuring seeds and plants. That's one of them. So you get a long list of these kind of things. But then he comes to right speech and says, abandoning false speech. A practitioner abstains from false speech. They speak truth, adhere to truth, are trustworthy and reliable, no longer a deceiver of the world. Abandoning malicious speech, they abstain from malicious speech. They do not repeat elsewhere what they have heard in order to divide those people from these people. Nor do they repeat to these people what they've heard elsewhere in order to divide these people. Thus, they reunite those who are divided, promote friendships, enjoy concord, rejoice in concord, delight in concord, speak words that promote concord. Abandoning harsh speech, they abstain from harsh speech. They speak words that are gentle, pleasing to the ear, and lovable. They go to the heart, are courteous, are desired by many, and agreeable to many. Abandon the idle chatter. They abstain from idle chatter. They speak at the right time. Speak what is fact. Speak on what is good. Speak on the Dharma. Speak at the right time and speak words that are worth recording. Thank you. reasonable, moderate, and beneficial. And so that's kind of there's a long list of kind of properties of right speech there. And the interesting thing is that it doesn't tell you what to say. I mean, it says a little bit, you know, speak on the Dharma, but, you know, the Dharma is kind of everything. So, but it's saying a lot about how to behave and kind of what to refrain from and kind of how to refrain from it. And so this over time became a checklist. So for the early monastics, so the Buddha used a checklist and handed down these kinds of checklists to us. And the checklist for right speech is that the speech that we give should be true, it should be necessary, timely, helpful, and kind. And I'll come back to the kind one in a moment. So true, you know, it's not just enough that it be true, but if it's not true, then it's definitely not right speech, right? So true, but just being true is not enough. Is it necessary? Because the world doesn't need, you know, we don't just need more speech in the world. We need necessary speech. And is it timely? Is it given at the right time? I think we all know that, you know, sometimes there are true things that are necessary to be said, like maybe the 100% correct way to load the dishwasher at home. So I need to clearly express the correct way to load the dishwasher. But it's very easy for that to become not timely and also not necessary because the dishwasher works fine without my speech. So true, necessary, timely, helpful. Is it actually helpful to the other person? And so think about it from that perspective. And then finally, kind. You know, we can say something that's true, necessary, you know, your work is crap. So that might be true, might be necessary, might be timely, but it's certainly not kind, right, to put it that way. Or the Buddha said in this, you know, words that are pleasing. Now, he wasn't saying, you know, just say things to make other people happy. You know, so it wasn't, you know, sucking up or that. But it's saying, no, think about how you can make the words such that other people can hear them and can listen to that. And so, you know, so these, like the precepts, these vary from situation to situation. And, you know, they, you know, and they don't tell us what to say. They don't tell us what is true. Or what's necessary, or timely, or kind, or helpful. You know, that's up to us, and that's up to the situation. But they give us a checklist of, okay, before I do this, or maybe, okay, I did it, now I'm thinking back, right? So checklists are helpful after the fact, too, for practicing for next time. We can run through this. True, necessary, timely, helpful, kind. I wish Joanne were here. I put together a mnemonic for this. We talked earlier about I'm safe for pilots or prey. So the mnemonic I came up with for this is Hong Kong Dynamite. So HK, TNT, helpful, kind, true, necessary, timely, so Hong Kong TNT, if you like. And, you know, and so we can keep that checklist with us. And hopefully have better and more timely speech, and also build our practice that's, you know, I think unique in the world and needed to bring that perspective. So whether you're flying, boating, doing surgery, you know, or just talking about loading the dishwasher, whatever it is. There's a checklist. So, thank you.